Thank you for listening to the Reaching Upward podcast and choosing to spend a few minutes with us in the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us again. We're going to be reading from Mark chapter 6, starting verse 30, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave it to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. So in the last podcast, I failed to introduce our guests. We have Andrew Smith back with us. I think this is the third or fourth.
Hello.
podcast that we've had Andrew on, and appreciate him. He's working with the church over here in Gardendale. And alongside of him is a new guest, or new to the last program, Devin Allen, also Hello. From Gardendale.
Yes.
And we're thankful to have Devin. Devin's been preaching with us over at Northwood and Tuscaloosa and just coming over and helping us out a couple of times a month. And we really appreciate the good work that he does and appreciate the last podcast. So we have come to a really, really amazing miracle. All the miracles are amazing, but there's something about this miracle that just seems to really catch our imagination. But setting up this story, the feeding of the 5,000, we see Jesus surrounded by lots of people, right? And he's got so many crowds around him that they don't have any time even to eat. And I don't know if y'all have ever been that busy, but there have been times in my life where I'll skip lunch or I'll skip supper or whatever, just get so busy, don't have time for breakfast or whatever. And that's certainly where Jesus is at this time in his ministry. And it's interesting, and so this is a small little point, but Jesus sees the importance of rest, right? So he tells his disciples, "We need to get away." Right. Unfortunately, the crowds see where they go and they hunt them down and find them. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, where you kind of look for your private place, but the kids come and find you, or, you know, your wife, you know, calls you up and reminds you of what you were supposed to do this weekend or whatever, and so you don't have time for leisure. But it says that when the crowds came, instead of Jesus getting really upset at them, just the opposite. He had compassion on them, like sheep without a shepherd. So that's a really cool point. And began to teach them. But then the disciples are like, hey, it's getting late, and almost detect a hint of irritation in his disciples. Send these people away, because they're tired too.
Right. They need a break.
Yeah, we need a break, Jesus. It's getting late. They need bread. They need food. Finally, can we stop? Can we finish, you know, this marathon of lessons, right? And so Jesus says, no, you give them something to eat. And they're like, we don't have anything. All we got are these 5 loaves and 2 fish, right? That's not going to be enough to feed them. And so he tells them all to sit down. I love the fact that he sat them down in groups on the green grass. You know, it sounds like Mark was actually there and saw, you know, they're sitting right on the grass. Eyewitness testimony here. And then blessing the loaves, he just started sending it out. You go hand this out. And I don't know if they thought, okay, are we supposed to pinch off little bitty pieces, you know, right, to feed them? But it says they all ate and were satisfied. I mean, just I love everything about this story is so cool. So,
he's almost begging them to have compassion as well.
Yeah.
Send them away. Verse 37, you give them something to eat.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, unfortunately, that's the way I've had to been treated in my life.
Uh-huh.
Is, you know, your parents tell you to have compassion, or tell you to say, I'm sorry, or thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way the Lord starts it, is, I command you to be compassionate.
Yeah.
And what he's hoping is that they'll eventually be fully converted to where they're just compassionate and merciful people.
Right.
But they're not, they're not there when this story is introduced to us.
Yeah, so it's like, it's almost like, I don't know if you've ever felt this way before. I really would love preaching if it weren't for the people. you know what I'm saying? And that's kind of where the disciples are. And Jesus is like, no, this is the reason why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. It's all about them. It's all about the people. So you give them something to eat. You know, they're not nuisances. They're the reason why I'm here.
It's that classic, you didn't get to take a Sunday afternoon nap because someone needed to talk to you.
That's right.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of hard. But again, it's about the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's about compassion. I've noticed that this, you know, he feels compassionate that they've come and they've ran to come and meet him, even though he's tried to distance himself. And it seems like in Mark, Jesus always rewards those that pursue him.
Yeah.
And we saw that in chapter 5 when the woman that grabbed onto his clothes.
That's right.
He rewarded her pursuit for Jesus.
That's right.
And he's going to reward these people too.
Yep. He's not going to send them away hungry.
Right.
Either physically or spiritually. He's going to teach them. He's going to give them what they need. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a break from the thoughts we have going on. But I often wonder we pray before every meal. I mean, I think just to be an average Christian, right, you have to do that.
Yeah.
And you think, is this one of those vain repetitions? But, you know, every time we see the Lord with food and you read the scriptures, he takes time to bless the food.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that he does this because he's kind of the one giving it.
Mm-hmm.
But then we see he realizes the true authority is God. And how selfish are we when we don't stop and just thank God for the simplicity of the food that's before us.
Yeah. And let me hear y'all comment on this, because I think with all of these stories, all of these miracle stories, there's always the surface level meaning, and then there's the deeper meaning, right? Jesus is not just healing a blind man, he's giving him sight, right? Jesus isn't just healing the leper, he's making him clean. And so there's like these lessons that Jesus is trying to teach in all of these miracles, right? It's not just a show of power. Look at what I can do.
Right.
Aren't I amazing? I mean, it is that, And we believe that Jesus is exactly who he said he was, the Son of God, because he had this tremendous power. But what's he like teaching his disciples here? And what's he teaching us in this miracle, do you think?
I think it's he can provide.
Yeah.
And especially spiritual need. He can satisfy that.
Right.
Because all the people were satisfied once they were with Jesus and his apostles.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is going too far, but it's interesting to me that in both accounts of the feedings, there's always food left over, and the writer accounts for that. And in this case, there was 12 baskets of food left over.
Yeah.
And so I've always seen this as when I compare, like, when you go to John and God says that I am the bread of life, Jesus is the bread of life, that we have the bread of life in front of us, the Word of God.
That's right.
And every time we read it, there's always leftovers.
That's right.
Every time, you know, I don't know how many times I've been through Mark, but every time I've studied it, I learn something new because there's those leftovers that I didn't get beforehand. So he's infinitely deep. He will always satisfy you, and you will always realize, I didn't get it all.
Yeah. I mean, you can never pass the tray around too many times where you won't get a little bit more.
Right.
Or a little bit more. You can have seconds, thirds, fourths, fifths. I mean, the bread just keeps on coming.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in John 6, he says, if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever.
Yep.
And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is in my flesh.
Yeah.
And so it's the entire substance of life, the entirety of you sustaining through life. It's not a meal. It's what sustains you through all things is what he's teaching us here, that he provides and there's more left over. I came to give you life and life more abundantly.
Yeah, and think about the idea of, like, sufficiency, right? If something is sufficient, then you don't need anything else. You don't need more to satisfy you. And isn't that the way it is with the Word of God, with Jesus and his teaching, that everything we need, whether you're talking about your family, your marriage, your kids,
your career, all that.
Yeah, anything in your life, all the wisdom you need is right here. And yet, sometimes we may feel like the disciples and say, well, what are we going to do? You know, these problems that we're dealing with just seem way bigger than anything that the Bible can handle. And yet Jesus is like, no, come, you know, I'll give you everything that you need. And all right, so I'm like going a little farther with this. What about us as teachers of God's word, as leaders among God's people? Do we ever sit here looking at these problems and situations that we're facing and maybe feel like, oh, well, all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm holding up my Bible right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can't see on the podcast, but we're looking at the Word of God and thinking, well, man, this is not enough, right? We need something else. We need something extra to give to the people what they really need. And what do we turn to? Well, things that don't satisfy. We turn to human wisdom and human philosophies, and, you know, as Paul says in Colossians, all wisdom is in Christ. He's all that we need.
You know, Joshua, it's interesting, everything Joshua was responsible for when he took over from Moses.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's following one of the greatest leaders anyone had ever seen. So he's now the general of the army, the leader of the people. He's the mouthpiece of God for him. He's the leader of his family. And so he's got a lot of responsibilities just been put in his lap. And God tells him, day and night, meditate on the Word of God.
Yeah.
If anybody could have used a John Maxwell book.
Yeah, sure, sure.
It
would be Joshua.
Right.
But God says, no, day and night, the Word of God. And that was to be sufficient for him to be the leader of an entire group of people from every angle.
Right.
And if it's enough for Joshua, certainly it's enough for us.
And he only had 5 of the books, too.
Yeah.
He didn't even have as much as we do, and that was satisfactory.
Well, I don't know if you've thought about this application before. It's a little similar to what we've already said. But think about Jesus as he's commissioning his disciples with the Great Commission. And he's just about to take off like Superman. You know, he's about to ascend back to the Father, right? And he looks at his disciples and he says, go, all nations, all creation, you teach the gospel, make disciples. And they're looking around at each other like, with what? You know? I mean, and yet he's really saying the same thing he's saying right here. You give them something to eat.
With what?
Yeah, I mean, it's like they probably felt, as we do, and we have way more resources today than they had back then, right? I mean, we're recording a podcast right now that can literally be heard around the world with this new technology. And yet they didn't have any of that. And yet Jesus is saying, you take the bread, you take this fish, and you go feed the world. And maybe that's the reason, one of the reasons we have this happen, is for them to realize with Jesus, there are no barriers, right? Anything he tells us to do, we can do. You know, when the Lord is with us, he will accomplish anything that he wants to accomplish with us, because it's not in us, right?
Right. David, this is kind of just an observation, but the times I've heard people, or even myself, get to the point where we think that the Bible is no longer satisfactory.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that we're not reading the Bible.
Amen.
So we're making that accusation, but we actually haven't taken the time to give it a chance.
That's right.
And that's why we feel the way we do.
Yeah.
Because if you're actually reading it and studying it, you do feel satisfied.
That's right. It'll change your life. It'll change everything. I mean, the power is there. We just have to believe in it.
Yeah, in some ways this comment will sound odd, but it does more than save your soul.
Yeah.
Which, that...
That's a lot, but there's more.
Right, there's more.
Yeah.
It will help you be the man you need to be for your family.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk to people all the time who's, they're just depressed or they're down. The scriptures will fulfill that. They will complete your entire life. It's written so that the man of God may be complete for every good work.
Every good thing.
Yeah, so, man, just so much we could say about that feeding of the 5,000. But we move straight from that into another amazing miracle. Again, all miracles are amazing. But here we see the disciples without Jesus, right? Jesus just needs some time. He's up on the mountain. He's praying. And the disciples are going across on the lake. They're going across the Sea of Galilee. And this windstorm just all of a sudden springs up, as storms often do. And they can't make it across. And it says that Jesus is watching them, which I think is pretty cool. But he's watching them as they try to push against the waves, push against the wind. And then all of a sudden, he just comes walking on the sea, right? Just walking across on the water. And I don't know why it says this, but he meant to pass by them. I don't know. I mean, but he saw that, but they saw him. And at first they thought this is a ghost, because they just couldn't believe that this was Jesus or any man walking on the water, which I can totally understand. And yet when he sees their reaction to him, his response is, take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. I mean, and those simple words, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid, I think is the point of this story. So let's talk. What is this story all about? I mean, why is it here? What's Mark trying to convey to the original audience in the first century and all the storms that they were going through, and what does this mean to us?
Number one, I see Jesus watched them struggle.
Yeah.
That he did see them, and for all we know, this was like supernatural vision.
Could have been.
He's that far away,
could have been.
But he did know that they were struggling, and he did see it.
And yeah. He didn't stop it.
He didn't stop it right then.
That's right.
Now, and to be fair, in Mark, he's already stopped a storm.
Yeah.
And they should have known that.
Yeah.
And they were terrified then, and he stopped the storm. And you know, they should have known they would have been safe. And I think that was the connection at the very end when it says they did not understand the loaves.
Yeah.
The apostles should have known better to act the way they did in that storm.
So in other words, the point of these miracles was not to say, okay, Jesus is really good at bread, right?
Right.
You know, the point was generalize this and realize that the one who can feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he can do anything.
Right.
He can handle a storm. He can handle death, disease, blindness, whatever. He's
got it.
You're good. You're good with Jesus.
And I think that's why he was going to pass by.
Yeah.
And of course, you've already brought up that Jesus was looking for some alone time here. I've always seen this kind of as a trick play. Let the people follow the apostles in the boat, and I'm going to run off, and I'll catch up to him later.
Yeah.
And then he was going to get more alone time when he was like, oh, I'll just walk across the sea, right?
Take a little stroll.
But then when he sees that they're continued to be terrified is when he decides to intervene.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he saw a phrase we use, he saw a teachable moment.
Yeah.
That's good, yeah.
He says, well, I could pass by, but here's a teachable moment. And it is, it's almost as if we're watching this as a play unfolding or a movie, as soon as he arrives on the scene, as soon as he's introduced, it's take heart, relax, do not be afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me just relay kind of a personal story here. I remember I was having this is a private one-on-one study I was having with this guy. He was a very troubled teenager at the time, and just things that were much bigger than me, right? His relationship with his mom, you know, his father had died when he was younger. He was just angry. He was bitter. He was rebellious, and just going through this storm of emotions, right? And I was sitting there in one of our studies, and he was going off about something, and I just didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. But my Bible happened to be open. I don't know if I don't remember if we were reading from Mark, but and I had my red letter edition Bible at the time. And just the red letters stood out, you know, and I saw not only take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. But I also saw up here in the first story, you give them something to eat. Mm-hmm. And those two statements from Jesus, I felt like it was almost as if God opened my Bible to that passage and said, okay, remember what Jesus said. Remember what he said. Don't be afraid, David. I'm bigger than this storm. And you have something that you can give him. You give him something to eat. And
he does the rest. I mean,
that's right.
In that analogy of food, you can't force him to chew it, but you give him something to eat.
And you know what it did is it calmed me down. All right, I was all uptight because I was kind of reacting to his emotions.
Right.
But it calmed me down, and we talked it out. And I'm not going to say that his life has just completely turned around or anything, but he's so much better than he used to be, and it's not me. It's not me. I mean, he is.
It's because he's been eaten.
Exactly. Yeah. He is the product of what God can do, and only God can do. And his story is not finished. But, you know, it was an illustration for me. It was a very powerful moment where I realized, okay, I'm not alone. This is not about me. This is not about me having the wisdom or the insight or the skill or the charisma. This is about the Lord working through me. And as long as I have the Word of God and I've got Jesus beside me, well, then anything can happen, right? Anything can happen. And I think that's just one example of many we could list. I mean, we could talk about, you know, family relationships, marital problems that just seem to be out of control. We could talk about problems with kids and parents, church problems, financial problems. I mean, Devin, you deal with, you know, people in the financial world that have their lives out of control, and you've seen and witnessed the power of the wisdom of God and people following that. I mean, just any number of applications that you can make from a story like this.
Right.
And it's so fitting that we read them together. Because the two stories, there is a problem in both. One, we're hungry, tired.
Yeah.
And then the storms of life, the solution is the same both times.
That's right. That's right.
It's almost like Mark has a message he's trying to get across.
Almost.
Right? Almost, yeah. It's almost like he's trying to convince us.
Sarcastically.
It's almost like he's trying to convince us.
I know, but they can't see it. So.
Yeah. It's almost like he's trying to convince us that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Right.
Yeah.
That last bit, that as soon as he sat in the boat, the wind ceased.
Yeah.
So life is better when Jesus is in the boat with you.
Yeah. Sometimes you just have to invite him in. That's right. And then this last paragraph is just kind of a summary of his work. People are bringing the sick on their beds, carrying them to Jesus. And doesn't matter where they're from or who they are, they're being made well. And they're even willing to just touch the fringe of his garment. I mean, like, power is just exuding from him. And this is the faith. And such a contrast from the beginning of the chapter where his hometown, they don't even see Jesus. And he does no mighty work among them. And so this is what happens when people really believe, right? So any other thoughts on the 5,000 or walking on the water before we wrap it up?
I'm good.
You know, it's interesting that if we're not careful as teachers and preachers of how sometimes we don't recognize Jesus where he is, because his disciples here, it says in 45 through 52, they don't really recognize him until he's right there. Mm-hmm. Now we change into the next paragraph, and when he crossed over and came to the land, verse 54 says, and when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him.
Yeah.
And that's similar to Rahab. You know, Rahab is there and she says, oh, I know these walls are coming down. Your God's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know that those spies doubted, but she knew the power of God. She recognized God.
Yeah.
Here we have mostly unbelievers, shouldn't have been as acquainted with Jesus as the disciples were.
But they knew him.
But they knew him.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get too far away.
Yeah.
He's not in the boat with us and we don't even recognize him.
Yeah, I love that. Love that. All right, well, we really, again, appreciate the interest that you have in what we're doing and the study of God's Word. We'll continue with Chapter 7 in our next episode, but we just want to thank you for joining us and pray that you have a blessed day.
This has been the Reaching Upward Podcast. Thanks for listening. You can find more Bible study resources by visiting reachingupward.com. If you have a specific question or would like a personal Bible study, click the contact button there.